But let's get back in on your Vancouver Canucks. And we are now joined by Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre. You catch him here on radio, watch him on television, and, of course, read his lovely work at sportsnet.ca as well. How are you, iMac?
Doing very well. I'm wondering how much longer I am for Edmonton. It seems like I've been here an awfully long time. When I arrived in late July, July the 28th to be precise, the sun was setting about, well, the sun, there was still light in the sky at 10 o'clock at night, and now the sun is setting around 8:15. So the my biological clock is telling me it's about time to go home and have my quote-unquote summer holiday.
Not much of a summer holiday this year. So
Not for anybody.
We've been asking listeners where their belief-o-meter is at out of 10 on whether or not the Canucks can come back in this series, 10 obviously being a high level of belief. Where is your belief-o-meter at that the Canucks can turn this thing around?
Well, 1 out of 10 is saying there is a chance, right?
Yes.
People can go 0 or can they go negative?
We've had a few people go 0. They're making their own rules.
Okay. I'm going to say 1 out of 10.
All right. Yep. It's pretty bleak. Like Vegas.
Yeah, I would say 3 out of 10 for any one game. And so if you multiply that, that's 9 out of 100, the odds of the Canucks winning all 3. That's my probability in statistics 12 from high school coming back to help me.
Your math is much more complex than ours. I appreciate it, iMac.
Oh, no, I got that wrong, actually. I'm doing it in my head. That was wrong. It's 3 times 3 times 3, so it's 27 over 100. So I guess it's 1/4. So I'll go 2.5 out of 10. How about that?
Okay. Improved odds there, at least.
Okay.
All right, so when we talk about the odds, we talk about coming back. We got to start with last night's game first. That third period, you know, a lot of us are giving credit to Vegas for being that juggernaut. Others are lighting up the Canucks. Where do you stand on that third period?
I think the Canucks needed to be sharper. I think that Vegas did have some bounces, as Travis Green has pointed out, but they got these bounces on outnumbered rushes, which the Canucks surrendered them. And they also didn't get a save when they really needed it from Jacob Markstrom. And I know that sounds outrageous to say because he has been so good for them, but in the third period, he looked like a goalie tired from playing the second game in 2 nights against a very intense opponent that spends long stretches of the game encamped in his zone. And I don't think he looked very good on any of the goals in the third period. Certainly the Schmidt goal that he saw all the way. The only thing I wondered on that is did it deflect off Tyler Motte or did it just go straight? But anyways, it was from a long way out. He saw it all the way. It went between his arm and body. And then the other two, he just seemed to not track the puck as well as we've seen him, and he couldn't react to close off space at the post. So I think that there was for sure an element of bad luck in it for Vancouver, but you know it's kind of the cliche about making your own luck, and they allowed themselves, they put them in a position where a bounce could beat them, and they gave Vegas enough chances to beat them, and the Knights did.
Yeah, and you know the Canucks' margin for error is so small, and you mentioned Markstrom, fatigue potentially playing a factor there, playing in the second half of the back-to-back as well. But it's not to knock Markstrom, because how can you do that after the season he's had? But it's just the reality of the Canucks' recipe to win games. They don't have much margin for error for Markstrom to let in a bad goal, let alone 2, because, you know, I know he said he wants all 5 back, but certainly his reactions to goals 1 and 3 last night tell you that he really thought he should have had those ones.
Yeah, but I just think if he's really dialed in, he's tracking the puck better than he did on goals 4 and 5. And he's, I mean, look at how slowly the puck trickled across the line off of Pacioretty's skate while Tanev was draped all over him, and yet he couldn't get over there. But you know, the reality is this isn't about Markstrom. It's not about just Quinn Hughes. It's not about Brock Besser not scoring. It's just that the team overall at this stage of its evolution isn't quite good enough yet. I mean, they could have everything go well. Like, everybody could be on top of their game, and they still might not beat Vegas because that's how good Vegas is. So, I mean, I don't like the idea that, because the Canucks weren't good enough, like, you know, people would rip them, because nobody thought they would be here anyways. But, you know, these are lessons for them about how tough it is when you get into the final eight, how tough it is against an opponent that's as big and strong and deep as Vegas. You know, the Blues, we thought, were this team. Well, now Vegas is this team, and they're a lot better than the Blues. And so the Canucks are finding out what it takes, and now they're in an elimination game for the first time, and we'll see, you know, how they handle that. They've learned a lot of stuff in the last month, and it's all going to be valuable down the road. And hopefully they can find a way to extend this series. But even if they don't, this has still been an incredible August and an incredible learning experience that should make the team stronger in the future. The next time they make it to a Final Eight, and we shouldn't assume that that's going to be next year. Hopefully it is. But the next time they get to a Final Eight, you know, Pettersson and Hughes and Horvat and Virtanen and whoever's still on the team is going to have a better idea of what it takes.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre. Ian, I'm with you. I think this also shows us how good of a team Vegas is. And we've often talked about Mark Stone, and Reach and I have had this conversation about him being the NHL's understated superstar. Another player that's really shown how good he is and maybe doesn't get that love is a local boy. Shea Theodore has really shown in this last couple of games, but throughout the playoffs, being, you know, cranking out points and driving play, that he's one of the better defensemen in the league. And this series has really shown a lot of people in his home city how good he's become as well over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was saying this morning that when the series began, we were all talking about Quinn Hughes, and now we're all talking about Shea Theodore, because he's been the best defenseman in this series. And mind you, he's got a lot more experience than Quinn Hughes. Almost everybody does. But Theodore is an elite defenseman. You know, 2 years ago, when I covered Vegas for a couple of rounds of that incredible run they had, covered them in the first and third rounds when they beat LA and Winnipeg to go to the final in their first season. You know, Nate Schmidt was their top defenseman. And Nate Schmidt is probably a better player now, but he's not their top defenseman. Shea Theodore is their top defenseman. And the team is just deeper everywhere. You know, they take out their sixth defenseman last night and play John Merrill, who was also playing for them 2 years ago. And they do that because they have the depth to do it, and DeBoer wants to keep his players as fresh and involved as possible. You know, those are the kind of lineup decisions he has the luxury of making. Most teams don't, and the Canucks don't. And certainly with the injuries the Canucks have had, they don't. I mean, they can bring in, Zach MacEwen, and maybe he gives them some energy, but, you know, really, they just lean, the Canucks do, so heavily on a core group of players, and Vegas has a much broader core group. It isn't just two or three or four guys. It's, you know, eight or ten, or really, if you look at it and how well some of their depth players have played, probably 12, you know, really good players. And that's what you need to assemble if you actually want to win a Stanley Cup. It can't just be four or five or six guys. You need to get into double figures of really strong NHL players.
I think people are right now, some pessimistic types are looking at this and saying, see, I told you, Canucks bottom six wasn't good enough to compete with the elite teams of the NHL. And I'm pretty sure we already knew that, right? But what we've learned is that the Canucks young stars, can get it done in the playoffs. And they've got, I mean, the will to win we've seen out of Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and Bo Horvat is pretty remarkable. They're made for this time of year, so to speak. At least it seems that way right now. No matter what happens the rest of this series, I don't see how you can't come away overwhelmingly positive about where the future is headed, especially now that you've got tangible playoff games to that you've seen Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes dominate it.
Well, I agree with you, but there will be many people who come away overwhelmingly negative no matter what happens, because that's kind of the nature of fandom and pro sports. And, you know, those people that you cite as saying, ha-ha, I told you so, the bottom six. Well, did those people also think the Canucks would find that out in the final eight, or did they think they'd find it out in the regular season because they wouldn't even be a playoff team? So I think that the good has far outweighed the bad in what has happened here this summer. And in fact, I mean, it's not even close. There's been way more good than bad. And even finding out where you are deficient, that's a good thing too, because it illustrates to everyone where you need to get better to get to this level. There's really no bad things about this with what the team has done, winning the two series to get to this point and you know, not making it easy on Vegas. Vegas has shown to be a better team, but the Canucks aren't rolling over here. They're competing. You know, they actually out-hit Vegas. As much as we talk about Reeves and how physical and big that team is, Canucks out-hit them last game. So, you know, there's been a lot of good stuff, and you just hope that gets parlayed into better stuff in the future, but there's no guarantee of that, which is why, you know, Travis Green, among others, have constantly preached about not just being here for experience. You got to take your chance, because you don't know when you're going to be back in this position again.
Yeah, especially a lot of veterans on that team as well. You never know what the future holds. IMAC, we know where you're on the belief-o-meter, 2.5. So overall, just looking ahead at the final...
Let me interrupt. I've got the math all wrong on this, and I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go and try and do the math again on probability and statistics. But if anyone wants to do it at home, 3 × 3 × 3 over 10 × 10 × 10. So it's 27 in 1,000 would be it, I think, right?
Okay, sure. I'm admitting it on radio.
I'm going back down to 1 out of 10.
Okay, 1 out of 10.
That was my first response. I'm just going to stay with it. Instinctively saying 1 out of 10 that they can win 3 in a row against Vegas.
Is this how they calculate expected goals? Because I'm lost.
No, that's one of the great mysteries of who actually decides what was expected to be a goal and who wasn't.
All right, so not much of a chance in the big scheme of things. I'll just keep it at that. But overall, sure. How many ever games are left, what do you want to see from these Canucks? What would you like to leave this series, you know, seeing from them?
I'd just like to see them play their best. And I don't think they haven't done that for a game yet out of these four. They've done it in spells, you know, game two, the start, and the way they held the lead in the third period. Last night, there were a lot of good moments in the game for them in the second period. Even in the first, you know, when they were down 2-0 and their power play looked really dangerous, but they couldn't finish. They generated other chances. I'd just like to see them at their best. I'd like not to see them go out where there's this sort of question about, well, this guy didn't do enough, and Markstrom wasn't this, and Quinn Hughes wasn't that. I'd just like to see them play their best. And I know that their effort is going to be unquestionable, as it has been all through this playoffs. This isn't a matter of desire or hunger or any of those things. These guys really, really want to win. But they haven't played their best, and it's going to take the best to beat Vegas. So I hope they play their best tomorrow.
IMAC, however much longer you are in Edmonton, we do hope that you enjoy it.
Well, I am, because, you know, how can I not? I've got a nice hotel room that I've gotten to know every square foot of, and get to talk on radio to Vancouver to my favorite people. So, yeah, it's perfect. Now I got to write an 800-word column. So, if either of you could help me out with that, that'd be good. But
okay, I'll before we let you go, though,
yes.
I have to ask you if you've gone to the mall.
No.
Okay. No,
I have not. No, we actually have those in Vancouver. In fact, we have pretty much everything in Vancouver, and then some that you can find here. So I'll leave it at that.
Suggestion for the column, could it be on the Belief-O-Meter, maybe?
Man, I'm going to have to get out the calculator app on my phone and figure this out. It's been a while since I had to do numbers.
We'll look forward to it, iMac. Thank you.
See you guys.